Hello, grandkids, and welcome to the long-awaited OPA number 123. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting to my left is Ken Phillips. What's up, good sir?
Well, it's great to be back, Kevin, and a Merry Christmas, of course, to everyone out there.
Yeah, Happy New Year. we have missed a lot of holidays.
Yes. Fittingly, we did just finish our personal gift exchange here this evening.
Since I forgot, well, I came down thinking that we were going to record last week.
Correct.
But I guess we could talk about that. The mini arcade game that your wife got you for Christmas is quite something.
Yeah.
Jeremy was quite familiar with this device when I was describing it to him, which I was not surprised by, really.
I went to Micro Center before the holidays to try to look for a gift for somebody, and they had a nice display of these things out front where it was like basically they were selling a kit that you could take and build your own arcade cabinet. They had like a full-size version, but they also had a smaller version, which was like you could put on a tabletop or something and still get the arcade stick with buttons experience.
Uh-huh.
And, we opted for the smaller version, which I think is good because you can actually, like, take it with you somewhere if you wanted to.
At least move it, at a minimum, move it around the house.
Yeah, move it around the house. I took it with me when I went to visit my family back in Altoona.
Oh.
And I was playing it with Dan, and the kids were playing around on it, so.
Excellent.
It was pretty fun, yeah.
Excellent.
But it was a definite experience to put together. A lot of different kind of considerations and making sure that you're following everything correctly was a little bit stressful at times. There was a moment where like the whole control panel thing fell off the table I was working on and like ripped out the wires.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I had to like, after I thought I was going to be done, I had to like kind of recobble things together again, but and then the software on top of it was kind of a pain, but once you get everything working, it's actually pretty sweet to be able to play like all those old, arcade games that, you remember from, yesteryear.
Yeah. The late 80s and early 90s, in my case. There were a couple of ones. I was pretty pumped to play Black Tiger there. That was one that I definitely have not played in a long time.
That was a fun one. And, since you were over at my house last week, I've mastered the art of, pausing and saving games as well. So you could,
save my game,
make progress in your game, and say use save states to, this it wouldn't count for a world record, Kevin, as we learned from the ballad of why can't I even remember that guy's name?
Billy Mitchell.
The ballad of Billy Mitchell, of course. Yeah. Yeah, we won't be using it for records, but you can of course still use it for your own entertainment rather.
I'm ready for your brother, yourself, and myself to play one big game of Genghis Khan on Nintendo.
It also does Nintendo and other emulators, yeah. So that I'm not sure I could handle a Genghis Khan session. Because I swear I remember us spending 5 hours playing one game of Genghis Khan. I don't know if that's possible, but I have a memory of that.
I definitely remember, like I said, you can pass on that game. And I remember that you two would play and just pass up all my turns. And then when I came over to your house, I'd just have to play like a shit ton of turns to catch up with you guys. It took a lot of time. Like, we just played, what, 2 or 3 rounds or something like that when I was over at your place.
Yes.
And it took a good 15 minutes just to play a couple of rounds.
Maybe I should say Genghis Khan for the Nintendo Entertainment System is a sort of a Risk-like game, I guess. You're sort of controlling armies that...
Agreed, yeah.
You can sort of spread out and manage your resources. It's a little bit of a Civilization kind of game, but you have some limited options and you can train your soldiers and you try to, like, marry people off to, like, get alliances and things like that. To have and having heirs is important, too. It's basically like an extra life, as I remember. Because if your main guy gets killed and you have your heir, then you can still, live through them, basically.
Yeah.
It's a weird concept.
There's a high chance that you go into battle and things go sideways for you. And you need that heir in place.
It's a surprisingly involved game, actually, for a Nintendo game. It's a involved kind of simulator.
Yeah, it is definitely... You're not in that one for the graphics.
No.
Or the sound.
No. You're right. The sound's awful. The graphics are awful.
It's all about the civilization building.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that someone that likes to play... because is it called just Cities?
SimCity, is that what you're thinking of?
Oh, SimCity.
Yeah.
I would imagine that people like to play that would have liked to play Genghis Khan.
Well, I don't know. There's at least some graphical elements with SimCity. this is almost text-based type. You're looking at, like, reports and stat sheets of your generals and deciding who you're going to train and send to battle. It can get...
Well, I guess I just think of that as civilization building, so...
Yeah.
Maybe you have a similar fondness for that kind of thing, even though, like, it is more stats.
Yeah, if you love spreadsheets, I think Genghis Khan could be the game for you. But I don't know if that would work out necessarily as, like, a live streaming sort of game, but that would be, it might be fun to do, like, a video or something of some of those other old arcade games sometime. If I had the technology to do that, but that might be for something to reach for, I would say.
Oh, yeah. And I guess we'll have to keep on saving games of Narc and get to the end of that at some point.
It's a wild ending, because I got to it, when I was playing with Dan the one time. And in the end... Like, you can't directly continue. Like, if you die, you can continue, but you start at the beginning of the boss battle. And the boss is a real asshole to beat. You've got to, like, nail him with rockets and, like, specific targets. It's intense. But, yeah, that's a wild game. And, yeah, I could see that definitely being one to... to do, like, a stream or something.
Oh, yeah, that's what we could do for one of these episodes. Just put a video camera behind us. Actually do a video episode and just us playing games the whole time.
That could have been our episode last week.
We can just do an hour of Genghis Khan for everyone. They'll be enthralled. The first video share on Stunt Granny.
Well, we might have to to discuss that further, but I have some reservations about the video, quality. What was my what is it like? The camera loves it, it may not be the most filmable of video games. Genghis Khan.
No, it really is not.
But we can figure something out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you know who we hope, I think both of us hope, figure something out for sure, Kevin, is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Missing the holidays, certainly missed out on some of our lamenting of how the season ran.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely some games that stick out in my mind. Not necessarily losing to New Orleans, who is a very good team. Sure.
But that's a game that could have went the other way, I would say.
Yeah, very easily. I mean, it sucks that someone that has been so valuable over the season, Juju Smith-Schuster, was the one that coughed the ball up in that instance, just because he really hadn't made a whole lot of errors pretty much at all the whole season until that moment, really.
But the wild thing, in the way that they've lost those games, like they had that, I don't know, 3 or 4 game losing streak there at the end of the, towards the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Those games, I feel like you could spread that blame out so completely because, like, everybody did something to, like, contribute to that loss somehow.
Oh.
Yes. Those losses were
it was
truly mind boggling to me.
it was a group effort to lose. Because the offense would not show up for stretches, which did no one any good.
Mm-hmm.
At a minimum, if they had strung together maybe a couple of first downs before coughing the ball up in some of those instances, and given the defense at least a little more time off the field, it would have helped. The defense...
And then, too, like, I feel like... In those games, problems. Yeah, in those games, there's like one drive in each game where if the defense had made a stop, like they would have been able to win that game. I feel like you could make the argument in those 4 different games, if they could have made one of those stops, they would have been in the playoffs. Like that's just like, and then you factor in everything else that happened in those games. Like,
oh,
it's just how could they have done this, Kevin?
It was a combination of things. You know, obviously, one of the things, that started off the season was a tie against the Browns when they were not very good.
No.
And that was when we, evidently found out that, our kicker went from one of the best over the previous 3 seasons to one of the worst. I mean, that special teams definitely also had its own part in the foibles of the Pittsburgh Steelers this season.
I mean, for 100%. I mean, he started out really bad and then kind of went up and down over the season, I feel like.
And because if I don't know if they would have won the division if they had just won that game instead of tying it.
I think they might have.
Yeah, I think they might have won the division. You know, that much of a swing.
From a tie game.
From a tie game to a full victory could have been the difference. Because didn't they have the same... No, they didn't have the same record.
Well, you know...
Yeah.
Like we said, you could point to many things as the reason why... They were sitting home this offseason.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole lot of them.
One thing maybe locker room lack of cohesion or, you know, the presence of distraction, some would say.
And there were any number of those. I guess I still understand Le'Veon Bell wanting to get paid. But honestly, the Steelers didn't do themselves any favors in trying to secure some type of extra backup help. Like, to me, like, if you know you're going to play that hardball and he's kind of... I mean, I think he signaled it well in advance that he was at least ready to sit out the beginning of the season. I feel like everyone kind of thought that he'd show up when he needed to. You know, like week 8 or whatever it is, before you get out for the season. And they really could have, you know, they knew that they were probably without him for at least 8 weeks, and they didn't really do anything to help. James Conner turned out well, but it also hurt them when he got hurt because they didn't really have anyone behind him because he was the backup.
Right. Would have been nice to have Le'Veon Bell. I think that would have helped their season for sure down the stretch, at least. It's too bad he couldn't come back later in the season anyway.
I mean, it really would have made it, if he's there, it would have made a difference. Just, you know, even if they had said, you know what, you're just, we're not dealing with you, and kind of use him as the backup and still have Connor start. You know, it just changes. That changes everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Then there's the Antonio Brown hissy fits, it seems like.
Well,
maybe that's, you know.
And it certainly did not help. Well, A, he's had his own hissy fits, and the fact that also that there's some kind of crazy off-the-field stuff that has been surfacing all season too, that has nothing to do with the Steelers, but I know that he has been accused of any number of misconducts outside in his personal life.
I don't think I had been familiar with that.
There was one that down at his condo in Miami that he was accused of throwing furniture out the window.
Yeah, that seems like a college party kind of thing to do.
So there was that. I also do not think, at least for him, he reacted to it well. But there are times where, with Roethlisberger, I'm like, man, maybe you shouldn't be calling people out. I know that you're the quarterback and you're the highest paid. Kind of allowed to.
That was going to be my next point of the journey here, as far as like locker room distractions. Like, yeah, I don't think he had to say that, you know? Like, he didn't have to specifically call him out by name. I feel like that's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Roethlisberger's, he's kind of skated on the blame a little bit for that situation. Because if it was a distraction, because I feel like there was something that went on at the beginning of the season. Oh, was it just did he throw the Gatorade or something at the beginning of the season?
Brown, yeah.
Brown. And, you know, you didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks, and then Roethlisberger makes that comment, and things kind of didn't go well after that. And then the last game of the season, you know, evidently he pissed pretty much everyone off.
Yeah.
To the point of Tomlin not making him active for a game.
I think that was a good move by Tomlin. It probably saved him a lot of grief from, you know, and blowback from the fan base by, like, you know, quote unquote, finally doing something about, you know, disciplining the players. You know, I feel like, well, at least where I was watching the last game, there was a lot of fire Tomlin sentiment in the air.
I'm still not on the fire Tomlin train.
No, I like Tomlin. I think he's a good coach. And, you know...
Yeah, I think people don't understand how easy it is. Like, even though they went 10-5-1 and they didn't get into the playoffs, like, there just aren't that many coaches that even get that many wins. Like, I mean, I think that's insanity that you think that someone else is going to get even more wins when you see how many terrible coaches there are out there.
Right.
Like, he definitely has his problems, and the fact that, thank God, they're already talking about bringing in someone for time management and challenge flags.
Wait, are you serious?
Art Rooney II said something this week about bring, but they said that they couldn't bring him in, the person in, just to do those two things.
What? Oh my God. That is really funny.
Yeah, I mean, I
would be embarrassed, I think, if I was Tomlin, but he kind of, you know, well, I think that's right on, spot on with his two of his biggest weaknesses, I would say.
I think that outside of, you know, maybe a Bill Belichick, every coach definitely has some problems.
Right.
And even Belichick kind of has some problems himself.
You might say fashion is a problem with
Well, Belichick? I'm talking more in the coaching realm sense and not the dressing sense.
All right.
But yes.
I think it still applies, but that's,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, he could dress better. I mean, come on. Just come on, man.
But
it's kind of a thing now. Like, you can't.
No,
it's been so long at this point. Yeah. It's weird when he doesn't.
It's his Luke now. You can't. It would be like he's backing down, you know, if he were to like wear a normal coach uniform, you know, outfit or something.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be a little strange if he just wore a track, you know, regular track suit.
Yeah, but apparently he was able to, you know, reinvent the Patriots defense over the week and get them to totally change things up in their first playoff game here. So, you know, proving that he is, I think, deserving of the, you know, genius coach label. You're not going to find that. I don't think there's like, I don't feel like there's like a sea of young Belichicks out there waiting to be hired or anything. I mean, I don't get that sense.
Well, yeah. And I guess that's why I go back to supporting Tomlin. It's like, really? Like, do you think there are that many people that could just step in and pull off a Bill Belichick? Like, and even Belichick didn't pull it off in his first job, you know, it was a second job situation.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, because I feel like they will probably get rid of some coach somewhere.
Well, no, they said they're done with getting rid of coaches.
Oh, really?
They got rid of the running back coach and Joey Porter.
Joey Porter, yeah. He was
two coaches that didn't necessarily, that in no way needed to go, really.
That's strange. I was almost thinking that they would do something on defense. Because they were not necessarily stellar on defense, I gotta say. Not that they were necessarily all the time anywhere, but yeah. Well, we'll have to see what the future holds, I guess. The other thing, I guess, the reason they're not gonna get rid of Tomlin, they would have to, like, that would be, I think, too much to ask for, like, Roethlisberger to get used to a new head coach. When he's only going to be playing for another couple of years, you know.
But they're talking about an extension for him now.
Well, yeah. But even if he was going to play for another 5 years or whatever, like, would he really want to, like, spend the first few years, like, getting used to a new coach?
Probably not.
I probably wouldn't. So, especially, I think, if he's... it seems like he likes Tomlin, so...
Yeah, his beefs never seem to be with Tomlin. They right. seem to be with the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so...
he only had a beef... and that, to me, that still goes back to a problem that I feel like undermined Tomlin's authority, which is when Bruce Arians got fired. Well, retired, quote-unquote. And then... magically popped up as the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts the next season.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's doing it as a hobby since he retired.
Yeah, and then became a head coach of the Arizona Cardinals until this past season. Good grief. Wow. Oh, yeah, and now he's Tampa Bay's head coach. I forgot that they just hired him.
He's been doing a lot of retiring and getting rehired at different places, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. He's so, I still feel like that kind of was a little bit of a problem. Like, you shouldn't undermine the coaches because everyone thought he was too chummy with Roethlisberger.
Right.
And they brought in Haley, Haley did make some good changes to help Roethlisberger start getting rid of the ball quicker and change up the offense so that he didn't get hit as much. I mean, I think that step was kind of necessary, but then they kind of had their problems. And so I guess Roethlisberger's really only had problems with one of his offensive coordinators.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he had a problem with Tomlin that I could pick up on. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It sounds like... they're probably keeping the same group together, I guess. Did they haven't made a decision probably about Bell yet. I'm guessing.
Well, I get technically they can do it, but they need to pay him triple this coming year.
Well, that might be tough to sell, a tough sell there.
Well, that's why everyone's pretty much assured that he's going to go to free agency at this point.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They won't trade him? Nobody will want to trade him?
No, because they just need to wait until the clock expires. I mean, I guess they could trade his negotiating rights, maybe.
Hmm.
But I don't know if they're allowed to do that since he didn't sign the deal for this past year. I feel like I read that they can't do that because he didn't sign the deal this past year. So he doesn't really, you know, have anything to trade him on.
Oh, wow. Well, I think they're going to end up owing money on him still on the salary cap. So that's unfortunate.
Well,
depending on how that shakes out, I guess.
Yeah, and even with Antonio Brown, they said that should they trade him, they're still going to have some residue on his on his contract.
Yeah, I feel like teams were double teaming him, so that is going to change things up a little bit if he's not around to be running interference, at least.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one. If he ends up not being there next season, which it definitely seems like it's kind of headed that way, but
right,
that's as much as I love Juju, he was number two guy. I think he can be number one guy.
Yeah, but it's nice to have two guys for sure.
Yeah, and I kind of agree that James Washington, while showing some hope, did not quite deliver completely this past season.
Or a Vance McDonald.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I could just stay in a game.
Yeah, it was to me, this was a real Vance McDonald kind of year. There's moments of greatness, but then in the end, maybe not enough.
Yeah, you still need Jesse James, who can get through an entire 16-game season. And yes. Still catch passes occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great way to put a bow on that one.
Yeah, there are a lot of problems. Because especially with how many star tight ends there are, honestly, in the league these days. I mean, come on, Cincinnati has one, for God's sakes. And of course, Tyler Eifert has a problem staying healthy, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is with tight ends and trying to stay healthy, because Rob Gronkowski does not stay healthy very well, honestly. Jimmy Graham has had his problems.
He's eating too many Tide Pods. That's not good for you. Terrible for you.
Yeah. He should not be participating in the Tide Pod Challenge.
But in other sporting news...
Yeah, and a little more positive news, and a lot more positive news, for sure. Honestly. And we've talked about it previously, and it is now official. The Columbus Crew has been saved. Mm. And that definitely makes me very happy. I had signed up on a list that said I would buy season tickets if they stayed in town, but I had already renewed my tickets anyway, so I am going to continue to pay new owners, thank God, who want to keep the team in town.
Yay.
And they're going to build a new stadium. And actually, I guess we could have tied it into the football too, because Dee and Jimmy Haslam, who also own the Browns, the Cleveland Browns, are one of the main investors, along with Dr. Pete Edwards, who was actually the Crew's team doctor up till this point, too.
Hmm.
So, it's pretty awesome. New stadium is, they showed renderings of it, and it looks very nice. I don't know where it is within the permitting process or anything of that nature.
Is it going to be on that site near the arena district down there? Or is there somewhere else?
It's going to be west of Huntington Park.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's going to still be on the east side of the river.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot of space over there, but I think they're going to have to build some more roads to lead in there maybe or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of train tracks in the area. Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, they showed the new site development, I think. I don't recall exactly what it is, but yeah, there's at least some extensions of roads to get in there. They don't really need that much road, honestly, just because the stadium itself is going to take up a vast majority of the space.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, if they're going to get off on six, people are going to get off on 670 there, they're going to have to, like, go down a little road, which I could see becoming a bottleneck if you got a lot of people trying to get down there at once. But,
well, most of the parking, honestly, I'm already ready to walk far distances for parking.
That's true.
It is not going to be as convenient as Cruz Stadium, really, that has a giant parking lot out front.
And I can remember parking and crossing the railroad tracks to go to watch Crew games at the at their current stadium. So
yeah, we used to do that.
Probably not the best thing to do.
In this case, thank goodness you will not actually have to cross train tracks. I do not think.
Yeah, that's for the best, I believe. You probably shouldn't be crossing train tracks in general.
Yeah, not always the best idea, but honestly, like, it's pretty hard not to avoid a train also.
You always think that. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Just in my opinion, I think it's pretty easy to not get yourself run into by a train.
Just don't put your head down on the train. Don't take a nap on the tracks.
Yeah.
Don't avoid these activities.
Yeah, if you're trying to go to a game, you're not trying to do any of that silly shit. Do not put a penny on the track so that the train derails.
I think that could be a myth, but...
That has got to be a myth. There is no way something that heavy derails because of a goddamn penny.
The whole thing just goes... flies up in the air.
I don't know if my dad's toy train at home would derail.
That's a good question.
Because of a penny. Might have to check that out sometime.
You're going to have to ask your dad next time you see him. Yeah.
I can just run the train and do my own experiment.
Oh my God. What if you do? What if it derails though? You might feel...
Oh, I derailed that thing plenty of times as a child. So I am not too worried.
For those who don't know, Kevin's dad basically takes over the back half of their house with train sets, or at least he has been.
It's a permanent fixture.
Okay.
Yep, and the O-gauge size is what I'm talking about, and it's a rather large. Because honestly, one car is on it almost as big as this 15-inch laptop. I think it's 15-inch laptop. Like, I want to say they're about 12 inches long.
That would be a pretty intense model train, 12-foot long cars.
Yeah, that would be pretty intense. That would require a larger room than my parents have their trains housed in.
That's a one-to-one scale, just about. You're not even in model territory.
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of a model, but that is a large model. Yeah.
It's like a three-quarter size. Really weird.
Yeah, that is not the smartest way to go.
No, I would say that the size trains that your dad has, would you say it would be like a G.I. Joe figure would look about the scale next to one? Is that the size we're talking about
here? G.I. Joe would be a little too large, although we used to put our G.I. Joe on the trains. I mean, they could ride them quite easily.
There you go. So, yeah, you're right, I guess, but they're a bigger size train than your typical model train.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's it. I guess if you're a real the train head, you would know what the O gauge is, because I'm pretty sure that's what gauge they call that.
All right, all the train heads out there.
But the,
we're
like
talking
I said,
O gauge.
It's like each car is about a foot long, and they're pretty heavy, especially the engine. I would say it's a good 5 pounds, maybe? 3 to 5 pounds? Like, I mean, it has some heft to it.
That puts me in mind have you ever heard of a weighted blanket, Kevin?
No, I have not heard about a weighted blanket.
Apparently, they are becoming popular among people. And they started out as like a thing for people with, I guess, autism maybe, or anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And it was meant to be like a calming thing. But now it's becoming more common with people. And we got one for our daughter because she was having trouble sleeping.
Oh.
And it's really weird because it looks like a normal blanket, but then you pick it up and it like weighs 16 pounds.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can work out with that thing.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is weird. But yeah, she loves it. So
awesome.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of why we got off on trains and now talking about
weighted blankets. The heavy train got me off topic.
Yeah, I forgot about that. We were talking about crossing the train tracks at now Maffrey Stadium, but at the time that we did it, it was Crew Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
So yeah, the crew back in town.
Officially saved, and that's awesome. So, and the other thing that was funny is this week, which is almost kind of good that we held off in some ways. The former owner of the Columbus Crew, Anthony Precourt, officially they named Austin the 27th team in the MLS.
So he is going to get his team then? That was going to be my next question, actually, because I haven't been following this story that closely, so I wasn't sure what became of him in the end.
Because I want to say that it was only 2 weeks ago that they officially, 2 or 3 weeks ago, because it was around the holiday there, that the city of Columbus dropped the lawsuit against Anthony Precourt so that they could finalize the sale. Maybe it's been a month at the most.
So he sold without having a guarantee, supposedly, that he was going to be able to have a team in Austin?
Correct. But a month into the process, he has a team in Austin. Officially, like the commissioner of the MLS was there.
So he may have been given assurances that he would get a team.
Well, they had already, the city of Austin itself had already green-lighted negotiations for a stadium for him. So he did have some stuff in place to establish a team down there. So, I mean, he was kind of a little further, I don't want to say further along, but I mean, it wasn't a completely new idea for the city of Austin, honestly, to have the team.
And he had already been talking to the city council down there and,
Yeah, I mean, I would think that we would have covered that within the saga here.
Yes.
but yeah, he got approved for a site. I mean, again, it is quite funny that MLS was pushing Columbus to have a site downtown, and the site in Austin is going to be further from downtown than what Crew Stadium is. Currently.
Mm. Yeah, they were not able to use the first choice, I know, that was rejected.
I think the first two choices were bounced. And actually, one of the wife's friends works out near where the new site is. And she said that it's kind of a little bit of a sketchy area.
Interesting. Sounds similar to.
And she says that she has no idea. Kind of like a lot of people do have the question of, there are not a lot of parking lots around the area. Like, at least the present Maffrey Stadium has plenty of parking. Pain in the ass to get out of, but plenty of parking. Downtown, there where Huntington Park and Nationwide Arena are, there's going to be plenty of parking. Now, I do think it's going to be completely bonkers if there's a night that there is both the Clippers and the Crew having a game.
Yes.
That is going to be wild.
In the bad way.
In a bad way.
Unless they can somehow add extra roads, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, you might be able to the extend of the roads that are there. I don't think you can really add roads.
Well, if you could have like an exit that went to the Crew, but I don't know. That might be.
I don't think they're getting their own exit. From the plans that I remember seeing, I don't think they're getting their own exit. You've got to kind of park in that kind of present area.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't work out very well. There's not that much room there.
No, there's enough parking, but it's still going to be a madhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still a fairly small area to park in. So Austin, but anyway, yeah, Austin is getting a team, and Anthony Precourt will own it, and I will hate Austin simply because of that reason. Yes. I mean, I still don't completely know why. The people of that city want to get in bed with this guy that has just screwed over another city, quite literally. Well, or tried to screw over another city, I should say, and failed at doing so.
I mean, I guess he ended up spinning it. Well, do we know if he'll end up having to pay the typical new franchise fee?
Well, that's the other thing that's kind of dodgy. I don't understand why. I don't think so at the current moment.
Mm-hmm. So this was a deal that the league put through.
Yeah. That's another thing that, I mean, honestly, and I could understand people are like, well, why aren't the other owners speaking up? Like, they are missing out on expansion fee money. Because... MLS is not exactly, you know, it's still not that big of a numbers kind of a league. It's getting better, but, you know, they still aren't, you know, they're giving up like 50 or 60 million, something like that. I think I'm trying to think what the expansion fees were. I want to say it was something in that range.
Yeah, it was something substantial, for sure.
So, yeah, it isn't baseball or football or anything crazy like that. But, you know, to split that between the 25 or 26 other existing teams is still like a couple million dollars that you're missing out on.
Well, I guess everybody must have agreed that it was probably going to be bad, you know, a bad look for the... MLS to have a team kind of ripped away from a, you know, a fan base that wanted to keep the team in that city, that they tried to find a way to kind of give it a win-win in a way for Columbus and for Precourt.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they went with. I still... am not a fan of Don Garber, the head of MLS, just simply because he kind of helped engineer the possible move out of here. Like, I don't think a lot of the hardcore supporters of the Crew, you know, of the Save the Crew movement, are exactly enamored with him in this process either.
Oh no, for sure not. And so, I think he wouldn't have been crying too many tears if, you know, the Crew had ended up leaving.
Yeah, if people hadn't, honestly, if this movement hadn't happened, there wasn't a team in town. It is pretty much, you know, people really, and I mean, I kind of said it the whole time along. I know that I've talked about it, but I can't say I really helped the, you know, the movement itself out aside from signing stuff.
Right.
You know, and still just supporting the team. Like I, you know, and I think I've said that a lot, you know, the whole time around. I still think that you, I know some people stopped going because of the situation, but I still, I also think that you at least needed some people there to prove that there is a legitimate paying crowd that was going to come.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I understand he's the shitty owner. I don't like him. And again, I will not like Austin because of him, simply.
Like a Jerry Jones situation.
You know, yeah, it's worse than Jerry Jones. At least because I didn't like the Cowboys before Jerry Jones too. So
yeah, it's true. Jerry Jones was
my dad instilled that in me long before Jerry Jones was the owner.
The thing that really ticked me off about the Cowboys growing up was it stuck with me. Them calling themselves America's team, like back then, I was like, "You got to be kidding me." Like, they think they're the only team in the whole freaking country. Like, that struck me as, you know, delusions of grandeur. And I don't know why I couldn't just brush it off as a youngster. Really got under my skin.
Yeah, I would say that definitely got to me when I was younger. But these days, I don't feel like they use that moniker nearly as much.
Right. You're probably right there.
I'm sure that it gets busted out, but it definitely doesn't bother me when it does get busted out. So.
That could be an old reference.
But yeah, I mean, again, I'm really glad that there will be soccer moving forward to attend here, and I'm very excited about that. So, Ken, off the sports topics, I guess, even though we're well into the show.
It's turned into SportsCenter.
Well, to do a little follow-up.
Yeah, this is decidedly not sports related.
Decidedly well, not sports related.
I don't think so. Anyway,
I mean, there are high school sports, but this does just involves learning.
I was thinking more like MMA, but it's more animal related. So yeah, not quite.
Yeah, there was no fighting going on. That's here true. From what we could
piece together,
ascertain.
Yeah. And this is actually an update to a story we'd covered earlier. Regarding a teacher.
In Idaho.
Yeah. Who
in junior high.
Decided to feed
a living puppy. And this honestly was the only thing that was new to me. I did not remember them mentioning that he tried to feed it to a snake first. Then he fed it to a snapping turtle.
Yeah, I can't remember if that's a new detail or not. I remember being confused as to whether the dog was alive or not during this period.
And it does seem like it was alive during this period.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Now that we read the postscript,
that's been cleared up by this these new developments here. Yeah, it's crazy. What it could possibly have been going through this teacher's mind to, to cause such a quote grievous error in judgment, according to the
an animal cruelty group.
Yes,
or the Idaho Humane Society, because a jury found the teacher not guilty of misdemeanor animal cruelty. Which, yeah, like, okay. Unfortunately, the both of us have had to put down several. Well, for me, several. Well, yeah, you did it when you're a child, I guess, or at least had to deal with it more than I did.
Yes.
Having to put animals down, so. I understand that, but feeding a live puppy, no matter how sick it is, or even if it is on its deathbed, to a snapping turtle in front of a class, to me is still pretty fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, even if you take it without in front of a classroom of children, it's still definitely fucked up. But
Well, yeah, I guess I could
you
take
add
the
in,
classroom out of it
yeah,
too.
but you add in that you're doing it in front of children. Like, what is the possible reason for that?
Yeah.
Demonstrate somehow, like the. Is that a natural situation for a dog to be up against a snapping turtle? I don't think so. Like,
No.
and is it what is what are they l would be learning from that situation? I do not understand.
Yeah, like I know that I remember your uncomfortability when Emily and I had you feed Fluffy a mouse sometime when we were gone for an extended period of time.
Right. I can vaguely remember that as well.
You could honestly learn a very similar lesson. If you want to have a mouse and a snake, and I guess it's maybe a little more acceptable because it's not a dog.
Right.
And honestly, you could see that at the zoo too.
I guess it depends where you draw the line. It seems like a little bit weird to feed a live mouse to a snake. Although that at least does seem to be
Well,
sort of a natural thing for a snake to be eating.
you were talking about kind of natural predator and prey,
Yeah.
and I guess that's what made me go down that road.
That makes a little bit more sense to me. No, I'm not sure that it still makes sense to do it in a classroom, but
Oh,
I can understand feeding a mouse to a snake.
that is the other thing that's just weird. Like, it's a junior high. I guess,
This
well.
reminds me of the story of you being electrocuted during a school project. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, society's pretty weird. There is some crazy shit that happens in life that you don't have a good explanation for, no matter what generation you're from. It's just like, why did we end up, why did I, well, I guess I still kind of, I definitely remember agreeing to it, and I guess I did not feel concerned since my friends said not to be concerned,
They had, was it like a battery hooked up, or was it like the wall that they were plugged into?
think it was a battery.
Okay. Well, that's maybe better then. It wasn't
But
a young Elon Musk or anything with his
who knows?
yeah.
Maybe they are. Well, I think my one friend is my dad's dermatologist now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know that my dad sees him because he became a doctor.
So he might still be zapping people.
I hope not. At least not that way.
Yeah. Perhaps a little more professionally.
Yeah, a little more professionally would be good.
But yeah, I feel like this story kind of filled in some more of the gaps around this. But it is crazy. Like, I don't understand how this cannot be animal cruelty. But
Yeah, I And yeah, I just I really don't get it. Like you said, like I don't get why it happened in the classrooms. I don't understand why it happened. I don't understand why it happened in a classroom setting still. Like you said, like, what are you teaching them exactly?
And
by doing that.
Yeah, I think it should be handled in a more humane way, obviously.
You know, and even if it's your dog and you feel like it's time to put them down, like, that seems like a fucked up way to put them down.
For sure.
Like, I would not have wanted to do that to Kia. Like, that's, oh, yeah, I'm just going to feed it to another animal. I'm just going to feed her to another animal. No, I'm just going to have them pump her full of drugs. You fucked up crazy person.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. So, I don't even know. It seems like if you're going to have animal cruelty laws, this should be something that's covered by it.
Yeah, and I mean, it is just a misdemeanor. Like, this guy was not exactly going to get tossed in the clink for 20 years or some craziness like that.
No.
Like, I'm sure that it was probably just going to be, like, probation or maybe a year or something.
Yeah, I mean, probation's definitely a pain in the ass, but the thing that was worrying to me is that I didn't see anything in the article, at least, about him facing any consequences at the school.
Oh.
You know, from what I can tell, he's still
employed.
A teacher there, yeah. It just seems crazy to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those ones where it's just like, no, this just does not seem like it was a good idea.
Maybe
things
are...
I understand that he got off.
Maybe things are different in Idaho. I don't know. I guess Eastern Idaho, that seems like that would probably be low population density. Maybe everybody's feeding
their puppies to snapping turtles.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be the local thing. Different cultures have different ways of doing stuff, I guess.
Yeah, there are a lot of different people around the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ken, I think we can wrap up on one short. Well, we've done an O story, we've done a paw story, and we're coming back to O again to end the show.
That's good. We're mixing it up.
Yeah, it's just a little short, another short one. The state of Ohio is now allowing a portion of a business's taxes to be paid with Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is really kind of a weird story to me. Like, who was really clamoring for this, I guess? Well, we did see that Overstock.com apparently was, if not clamoring, at least...
going to do it.
Yes, taking them up on the offer to pay in Bitcoin.
Yeah, when you're only getting one company to do this, it does not seem like it's a terribly popular idea.
To me, it's just a hassle to get Bitcoin in the first place. But, you know, going, say you find a good way to do that, then you still have the problem if you're holding on to Bitcoin with the price fluctuating so wildly. Like, what you bought for, you know, $100 worth of Bitcoin might only be worth, you know, $75 at the end of the week or something. So that's going to affect what you're able to buy with that Bitcoin, you know?
Right.
So like you have to, and I was concerned about that when I, was trying to do a little research here before the show. but apparently the state of Ohio is using a service called BitPay, which this service is basically acting as a clearinghouse to take the Bitcoin, turn it into money and give the money to the state of Ohio. Basically immediately. So like they're just kind of clearing the Bitcoin and paying the money. So like they won't be effect, like there won't be a big effect of exchange rate fluctuation since the price will be set at the time that the payment is made.
Oh,
and it'll basically be sold then right then for cash. So,
okay. I think, it's kind of funny. It just says Treasurer Mandel. And I want to say that that's Josh Mandel.
I believe you're right.
Who had some less than desirable traits. I'm just going to put it that way, at least from what I remember.
Yeah, so this this just seems like someone's idea of a good idea, but I really don't know who is asking for this solution, quote unquote.
Yeah, and it does not seem, when we first did a Bitcoin story, it seemed like it was growing in popularity. And honestly, I don't know when we did our Bitcoin story, but I feel like it's been a couple of years, and I don't feel like it's really caught any more traction. And honestly, it's kind of lost steam since that point. That's why I kind of found the story strange. Like, it seems like the whole Bitcoin thing has cooled off a bit.
Well, there was like a big bunch of speculation in Bitcoin, and that seems to have cooled off quite a bit. Some questions about how that value got pumped up so high. It could have been potentially inflated by some no-gooders, but we don't know. For sure, I don't think. Anyway, yeah, so Bitcoin, the prices have been fluctuating wildly. And the other thing that I think has taken some of the shine off Bitcoin is there's been a bunch of other cryptocurrencies that have since come out that are kind of trying to compete and also getting people to invest in. But I don't know. Cryptocurrencies, it doesn't for sure. There's still unsolved problems with those, and one of the big ones is the value changing so much that you're really paying in dollars, right? In this kind of instance, you're just
instead of saying that you're paying in dollars, you're paying in Bitcoin,
right? So like the Bitcoin is not exactly a currency in this situation. I don't know. Not exactly in my mind.
Yeah. It just all seems a little crazy and a little too much, I guess.
Yeah.
But hey, I guess if you have the Bitcoin to pay as a company, and because it's still only a portion, but it still is weird that if it's getting cashed out like immediately, why not just ask for the cash?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. But hey, what do I know? I'm just an architect.
Sure. You're not a Bitcoin-ist.
Yeah, I'm not a Bitcoin junkie. Well, Ken, I think with that we can wrap things up. I'm at DeFrango11. You're at Gozer33. The brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or listen to us. And have a good night.
See ya.
Well, Ken, I almost forgot to talk about the Belltime Beer of the Week.
Wow, crazy.
Because I am actually working on a logo for the Belltime Beer of the Week. And it's one that we did talk about at the top off the show. It was meant for a Christmas show. It did not happen for a Christmas show.
Unless you consider this a Christmas show in January.
In January, in the middle of January. I picked it up when I went to All In. It, was, Three Floyds Alpha Claws. What would you say about this, holiday, it's a Christmas porter.
It is, pretty good. I do generally like the stuff from Three Floyds. And it does remind me of some of their other stuff a little bit in terms of the, hops notes.
Yeah, they are not shy on the hoppage at all.
And you normally don't think about hops with a porter, I would say. Usually there's a more of a mellow kind of feel to them. But I like this kind of combination here.
Yeah, and it's not too... I think some of the Christmas ales, though I like some of them, sometimes they can get too sweet, spicy.
Right. Yeah, that's not the problem here.
No, not even a little bit. So yeah, this is a pretty good one. I do believe I had some of it when I was actually at the brewery, but was one of the bottles to pick up, and again, it was a future date. So I'm like, let's do this. So now we're actually out. We did the other stuff. So later. Bye.
Cool.
Again.